Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Cheltimer, my co-host, Chris Cameron, who's also our sound editor and making us all sound good on Zoom today, and our guest this week, Vicky Delaney. Each week at this time, we visit with a local or regional author or other persons involved with writers and readers. We ask our guests to introduce us to their work and to read to us. We like to get a glimpse into their lives and find out what inspires them and what prompts them to write. And we're delighted to have Vicky Delaney join us again today. Welcome, Vicky.
Thank you so much. Vicky Delaney. It's lovely to Zoom with you.
Vicky Delaney is one of Canada's most prolific and varied crime writers and a national bestseller in the US. She has written more than 35 books, clever cozies to gothic thrillers to gritty police procedurals to historical fiction and novellas for adult literacy. She is currently writing 4 cozy mystery series, the Tea by the Sea mysteries for Kensington, the Sherlock Holmes bookshop series for Crooked Lane Books, the year-round Christmas mysteries for Penguin Random House, and the Lighthouse Library series, writing as Eva Gates for Crooked Lane. Vicky is a past president of the Crime Writers of Canada and co-founder and organizer of the Women Killing It Writing Festival. She is the 2019 recipient of the Derek Murdoch Award for Contributions to Canadian Crime Writing. It always amazes me how many books you have written. But you have embarked on another new project. Can you tell us about how this particular new series came into being?
Okay, thanks, Gwen, and thanks once again for chatting to me. This is the first book in my new Tea by the Sea series, and it is very much a cozy series, as are the other books that I'm writing now. As the name suggests, it's set in a traditional afternoon tea room. The main character is a trained pastry chef, and she owns this tea room. And the tea room is on the same property as her grandmother's B&B. Grandmother lives in this big old Victorian mansion that she's turned into a B&B. And, you know, murder and mayhem then ensues.
So tell us a little bit about the new protagonist in this Tea by the Sea series.
Okay, this book's a slight different than my others. That there's actually 3 main protagonists. Well, 2 main ones and another one, even though it's strictly a one-person point of view book still. So the main character is Lily Roberts, who is the owner of the tea room, and her grandmother, Rose Campbell, owns the B&B. So Rose and Lily are essentially the 2 protagonists. And then there's the best friend of the granddaughter, who's actually a struggling fiction writer. So I kind of enjoyed that, but I did definitely try and keep the Rose as prominent a character as Lily. But Lily herself doesn't want anything to do with any of this detecting business, but she keeps getting dragged into it by Rose and Bernie, because Bernie is the sort of rushes off, you know, with every madcap idea. And Rose is an extremely sensible elderly woman, but very much set in, you know, once she decides she's going to do something, she's going to do it. So it's a matter of, well, if you won't come with me and investigate this murder suspect, I'll go by myself. So Lily is reluctantly dragged into investigating alongside those other 2.
Well, that is a different take for sure. Cozy mysteries are, the people who read them anyway have certain expectations, right? Remind listeners again, like, what does it mean that it's a cozy mystery? What makes a good cozy mystery?
Well, a cozy mystery essentially is, basically, it's a light read. First of all, it's always defined as having no gratuitous violence or sex of any sort. So what a cozy mystery has, it doesn't have the dark underpinnings. In a cozy mystery, the characters live in a very nice place. They live in a nice town. They have a nice circle of friends. They work at a business that they can, you know, something they can drop it, then rush off to investigate crimes. But essentially, they live in a very nice world. And what has happened is that someone has arrived in their town and someone has been murdered, and it's up to the character or the characters to put the world back to rights, to make it this very pleasant place once again. People who read cozies always say that it's because they like a break from the real world and they want to go to a place that's a pleasant place. And so cozies are usually not always, usually set in a small town, Tea by the Sea. This series is set on Cape Cod, so that the property is right there, you know, right on the sea. So it's a, you know, a tourist destination. And another thing that a cozy essentially is a traditional puzzle mystery. You think of, you know, the books of Agatha Christie or Niall Marsh or that sort of thing. A traditional puzzle mystery essentially means that the clues should be laid down in such a way that the astute reader has a good chance of solving the mystery either at the time or slightly before the protagonist does.
Yeah, and they're usually a fun read too. So very often there's an element of humor. And do you actually purposely put humor in yours, or do you just let it happen? How does humor work in your mysteries?
My perspective is I do try and put some humor in. I try hard to do that, in fact. Sometimes it works better than it does other times, but it is definitely something that I'm aiming at because, you know, if it's a light read, people like to have a nice, good chuckle.
Well, perhaps you'd read to us. Are you going to read from the new series?
I'd be more than happy to. So I have a copy here of Tea and Treachery, which comes out at the end of July. This is shortly into the book. The murder has happened. The body has been discovered. The police are poking around. I left the kitchen via the doors to the hallway and strolled casually past the drawing room. The door was open and no one was inside. Trying not to be too obvious about it, I ensured no one was around. The sound of Mrs. Zarkowski humming tunelessly, while she made beds and tidied bathrooms drifted down the wide oak staircase. The downstairs utility closet, used for storing table linens, was tucked under the stairs. I opened the door. Two of the shelves had been removed and were leaning against the wall, and stacks of neatly folded and perfectly ironed linens were piled on the floor. I reached for the lever beneath the uppermost shelf and pulled. The bottom section of the wall slid open on silent hinges. I bent over and crawled in. The tiny room was comfortably furnished. The small table and a single wingback chair were moved from service after a guest dropped a lit cigarette onto the sofa seat. The guest had also been removed from service and shown the door. Rose's laptop was open on the table. A tiny lamp illuminated the screen and the keyboard. "You shouldn't leave things out of place when you come in here," I said to her in a quiet whisper. "Edna has finished for the day, and Mrs. Zed has no reason to be in the downstairs linen closet. If one of the guests has the cheek to poke around behind closed doors, I'll tell them I'm hunting mice. I assume you heard everything?" "Not everything. Unfortunately, I had to wait in the dining room for them to question me, so I didn't hear what you or Bernie had to say. You can fill me in. Do you think Jack Ford was murdered?" "Rose, I have no idea. But whatever happened to him, I wish it hadn't been here." The room, being under the staircase, had no windows. It was next to the drawing room, and not only was the adjoining wall excessively thin, but discreet holes had been driven through the lath and plaster and were concealed on the other side by a picture of an 18th century warship in full sail hanging over them. We had not made the secret room, but we loved knowing it was there. This house had been used as a B&B before Rose bought it, but the previous owners had not lived in. She wanted a full suite for herself on the ground floor and hired a contractor to make the necessary modifications. Before going ahead, Rose had carefully studied the architectural plans of the house and discovered some, shall we say, discrepancies, such as this carefully placed and hidden room. Only Rose and I knew about it. She got to her feet and switched off the lamp. In the darkness, I crawled back into the linen closet and listened at the door. All was quiet, so I opened the door, peeked out, and stepped into the hallway. Rose followed, and I slid the partition back into place and replaced the shelves and linens. "That Inspector Williams," Rose said. "Detective Williams," I corrected. "Whatever. He's surprisingly incompetent, either that or excessively lazy." "Don't play him for a fool, Rose," I said. "He is a fool. I suspect that young woman is not. She'll get to the bottom of it." "What do you know?" "Me, I know nothing. Nothing at all. No one," Inspector Williams questioned, "claimed to know anything. I find it hard to believe that the late unlamented Jack Ford was early for his meeting and decided to go for a stroll along my stretch of beach. But stranger things have happened. It has nothing to do with us. I won't say I told you so, but I told you to get that gate fixed. Ask your young gardener to do that. I must say he's surprisingly handsome, isn't he?" "Is he? I hadn't noticed." "You spend too much time in that tea room, Lily." "That tea room is my livelihood," I said. "Pshaw. The gardener at Thorncroft ran off with the cook's assistant. That was my lucky break.
I was promoted from kitchen maid to cook's assistant. And as Mrs. Beans was a sloppy old drunk, the family kept on out of loyalty, or perhaps she was bribing them, that meant I was, in fact, the head cook at Thorncroft. I'd heard more than enough stories about the kitchens at Thorncroft over the years. Yes, Rose, I know all that. It has nothing to do with what's going on here. I have to get to the tea room. The front door opened and a laughing couple in their mid-20s came in, arms wrapped around each other. Rose had earlier told me they were on their honeymoon, but she needn't have bothered. It was written all over their face and screamed out body language. Good afternoon, Mrs. Campbell. The woman was presumably addressing Rose, but she kept her eyes on the face of her new husband. Another beautiful day. They climbed the steps, smiling at each other and staring deeply into the eyes of their beloved. They didn't pay more attention to where they were putting their feet. I thought we'd have another accident. I turned to see Rose studying me. What? Young love. There's nothing on earth like it. I wouldn't know.
Well, thank you very much for introducing us to the new series. And we've been talking with Vicky Delaney, mystery writer, author, and now we'll take a short break.